This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:15. You're with Kelvin Kam and Iman on the Evening Edition. For our next story, we're talking about plans to move Indonesia's capital away from Jakarta. Indonesia has been thinking about this since independence in 1945, but it has become more important now because Jakarta is sinking at one of the fastest rates in the world.
Yes, and researchers say that large parts of Jakarta could be submerged by 2050 because apparently it's sinking on average 1 to 15 centimetres every year. So right now, the government is looking at three options, which are Central, East and South Kalimantan. So they've been looking at several aspects like risks of natural disasters, environmental capacity and demographics and other aspects as well.
Now, there are also questions about how it will affect the forest in Kalimantan, known as one of the green lungs of the world. But there's also hope that it will help spread economic development and political power more evenly across Indonesia. The President Jokowi has said that this move could happen as early as 2024. And It does sort of make sense that they do want to move because one of the reports by BBC noted that Jakarta is one of the fastest sinking cities in the world, with almost half of its area below sea level.
Yeah, it's kind of scary that there is a list of fastest sinking cities in the world. But I used to work in Jakarta, actually, and yes, whenever it rains, the entire place floods. It's flat. It's entirely flat. And the ground itself, the water table, is very high. So there was an earth tremors felt there from an earthquake long way off the coast of Java to the south just recently. And the fear is that if there were a natural earthquake closer to Jakarta, then you have this thing called liquefaction. And the entire area would be, it would just become liquid, the ground. So it's a city of about 10 million. Mm-hmm. And in talking about moving the city, they're not going to move 10 million people. It's just that the government agencies and some military personnel and Jakarta itself would remain as a business center in the way that they're talking about, you know, Washington, D.C. and New York, or, I don't know, Putrajaya and Kuala Lumpur.
So we're now going to cross over to Mother Supriyatma, visiting fellow in the Indonesia Studies Program at ICES Yusuf Ishak Institute. Mother, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me.
Could you talk to us about the origins of the idea to move Indonesia's capital away from Jakarta?
Yeah, I think it started in 1956 by Sukarno. Actually, at that time, I think there's a rebellion in South Kalimantan, and then there's a small rebellion in Central Kalimantan, and Sukarno created a new province that we know now as Central Kalimantan, and a brand new capital for the province called Palangkaraya. And he started talking about, at that time, this is going to be the capital for Mapelindo. I don't know whether you're familiar with this concept or not. Mm-hmm. In Sukarno's imagination at that time, it will be Malaysia, Filipina, Indonesia will be a one country, one state, and under his rule. And the capital city will be Palangkaraya, which in his estimation is the center of these three regions that he wants to be unifying as a one country. Then, you know, the geopolitics, the politics change, and everything is up. It just didn't materialize. So, but a lot of Indonesians still talking about Palangkaraya as the future capital city of Indonesia.
So the idea to move the capital has been around for decades. What stopped it from happening before this?
I think Jokowi saw that the report that Jakarta has been sinking, it's too crowded, he couldn't fix the traffic jam, and, you know, the business is not, I think it's already impacted by the If you happen to be in Jakarta, if you have an experience in Jakarta, and I don't particularly like that city, you know, for one place, for 2 kilometers, it takes you for 1 hour. That's ridiculous. I've been in the U.S. for 20 years, and I just couldn't stand that kind of things, you know. I think that's the main idea to get. And also he talks about the redistributions and, all that kind of things that you mentioned before.
So aside from the traffic and the perhaps redistribution of capital and investment, are there any other factors? And do you think that moving the capital can solve these problems?
The second one, your second question, I will answer with no. The problem will still be there. Jakarta needs a huge investment for its infrastructure. It is ridiculous that Indonesia, the capitalist city, has been around for ages, and the population is it's a lot of people, millions and millions of people, but they don't have public transportation, for example, the decent public transportation. Jokowi, built MRT over there, but it's too late, I guess. Also, how to control the private automobile ownerships, because a lot of people who are working in Jakarta coming from the suburb. So if there's no public transportation, then just forget it. And also, can you imagine that the city that big doesn't have a proper sewer system? So everything goes to the river, to the Kali, and then, you know, it just, the city stinks, and I think it's rotten. It's getting worse each and every day.
So currently all three options are in Kalimantan, whether it's central, east, or south Kalimantan. Why are all the three options in that region?
Yeah, I think Jokowi tried to, I think he is following the line of thinking of Sukarno. It should be at the center, not of Indonesia. And the Kalimantan is actually, in his estimation, it's the center. You know, it's not too far from north, from the east and the west, and also in the north and the south. So it's, Java is already very crowded, and the Kalimantan is still sparse. And I think he has three options right now in the central and the south and the east. And I think all of the things that he said, or the government official said, that it most likely it will go to Penajam Pasar, which is in East Kalimantan. Because of what? Because in Central Kalimantan, they have an ethnic conflict over there, and the politics is not really conducive to have a capital in there, and also, it's too far from the oceans. You need a port, close to the port. And in terms of security, also there's a problem. In South Kalimantan, well, I don't have any particular place that I can refer where it's the best place to have a capital city. But in East Kalimantan, in the Penajam Pasar region, it's very close to Banjarmasin, where Indonesia has a strong military headquarters over there. It has a huge seaport, and also they are talking about the Bukit Suharto, a conservation area that they want to build this as a new capital city. And I think yesterday, just one minister said that the new capital will be a smart city and a forest city. So it's a very, very clear example of probably in there. But it's not without caveat, though. Because, as you know, Kalimantan, I would say that I would not hesitate to say it's the ground zero of environmental destruction. Everything bad about environment in this world, I think, occur in this Kalimantan. The big forest, peatland forest in 1997 occurred in Kalimantan. It's contributed a lot to global warming. And then also you want to turn the conservation forest, the 60,000 hectares of forest into capital. That's also a big question mark in there. But I don't think Jokowi care about that too much. I think he sees that the capital city will be his legacy. So that's the most important for him to think about right now.
What would the movement of the capital to Kalimantan mean for Malaysia? Or even the region overall?
I think it's very, very interesting because you guys will have a direct. It's become the center of Indonesian government will be closer to your land, to Malaysia, because you share the same island, right, Kalimantan? And I think. Not really. Well, in that perspective, probably. I don't know whether I have to assess whether there will be create a huge consequences. But you know, as you know, also this is the trail of the all of the illegalities from southern Philippines. East Kalimantan to Java. That's if you follow the trail of all of the trail of illegal arms, for example, the trail of smuggling of weapons, for example, terrorists, for example. This is the trail of East Kalimantan and Kalimantan in Malaysia, in Sabah, and also in Eastern Kalimantan, Banjarmasin, Balikpapan. That's, I think, all of the terrorists that before became a problem for these two countries, I think it has a trails in there.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, I want to ask, what will happen if they move the government offices across and federal government eyes are no longer there to be looking at Jakarta, what will happen to the Jakarta that is left behind?
Oh, I think it still will become the center of economy. That's a really hard to move. Yeah, it's more because Jakarta has the best infrastructures in Indonesia, right? You have a best telecommunication networks in there. You have, even though you just saw a couple of days ago, they have a big blackout for several hours. But it's the most connected and the most equipped and the most advanced technology. It has the most advanced technology compared to other city in Indonesia. It's still become a very, very important economic power for Indonesia. Yep.
Mada, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Mada Supriyatma, visiting fellow in the Indonesia Studies program at ICE's Yusof Ishak Institute. And we have been getting some messages about this story, and we have this one from Munif coming back to say, went to Jakarta for a job 3 years ago and the traffic jam made chaos traffic feel like a pleasant stroll in the park. I asked the liaison there why was the traffic so bad. He proceeded to ask me what the population size of Malaysia was. Nearly 30 million, he answered. He said there were 30 million people in Jakarta at its peak. And I never asked that question again. Message delivered, noted. These guys need to move big time.
Yeah, that's one of the problems when economic activity is concentrated in one area, because we were talking earlier about the divide between rural and urban areas and how young people are moving to KL, for example. Mm. And that's just one of the consequences where the population is so concentrated in one area, it results in all these other spillover effects.
And with Indonesia as well, you have people coming from all over Indonesia. It's almost like an imperial capital because the difference between people from Irian Jaya and Aceh is enormous.
We are heading to the 7 p.m. news, after which is Skip Intro, so stay tuned for that. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.